listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
All right. What up, Canes fans? It is the Forza Podcast. It is your boy, Marsh. I am here. I am feeling healthy. I've been sick this entire week. This is the first time I've left my house this whole week, but I am here. And as always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, how are we?
I'm good, man. That's quite the intro.
I don't know what it was. I just got excited right before we started recording. Bro, like I said, I have been sick as a darn dog since Sunday. Today was the first time I left my house this entire week. I've been watching Harry Potter and I thought I got the coronavirus, but
well, I'm glad you don't have it.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine? All hell would be breaking loose right now. Not that it isn't everywhere around the world. I mean, Jazz Thunder, they just canceled their game. Who knows what's happening?
Remember when I tweeted like 2 days ago how dumb Rudy Gobert was for touching all those microphones, and now he's the reason they're canceling the game?
What an idiot.
I know, dude.
What a stupid idiot. But things are good. Things are freaking busy. How's life with you? Not Canes. How's life right now with Jordan? How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. Very nice of you. I'm busy, dude. I'm really busy as well. I sell paper like Jim Halpert action, Michael Scott. And I'm doing that for two companies right now, and it's time consuming. So
yeah,
it's a fun grind, and life is good, but geez, I'm stressed and busy, just like a lot of people out there. So
I just feel like everyone is so stressed and busy right now. I will say, just announced back to the coronavirus thing, Ohio State and Michigan just canceled their spring game.
Really?
So I don't know what our beloved Miami Hurricanes are going to do, but it's tough in the streets right now, man.
Well, I was too cheap to buy a refundable ticket, so I'm either losing $400 or.
I promise you, I will not leave you. I don't care if the spring game is on or not. I will not abandon you. I promise you, we will be in South Florida together.
Well, it might be fun to just kick it,
Wait, what?
I said it might be fun to just kick it for a few days,
Oh, of course, bro. We can just chill out at the Thomas Pool and talk football and talk candy and just eat. And just
yeah. Hold on to and candy and just eating Cuban food.
Yeah, exactly. But we got a huge, huge show for you guys tonight. We'll actually be back recording tomorrow night as well. But tonight we are about a week and a half, or last week, week and a half ago, we announced that we were going to be doing a vet of the week. Every week we'd be honoring a Hurricanes fan who has served or is currently serving in our nation's armed forces in the military. It's something, the military is something that's very, very important to me. My father served in the Marine Corps, my grandparents, and so many of my family members have served for our country. And I know you, Jordan, are very appreciative of those who have served. And so it's just something that I think would be really, really cool and way for us as Canes fans to really show our thanks. And today we are actually going to be having our first veteran of the week, and his name is Travis Bruce. And so we mentioned him before a few weeks ago on the show. And so before we get him on, Jordan, do you got anything to say about that?
No, I don't have any immediate family members that served. A lot of people in my extended family did. Both my grandfathers fought. Great grandfathers were both World War vets. So, it's I do respect it. I love it. I'm glad we're doing this, because it's a sacrifice I'm glad that other people are willing to make, because I'm kind of a pussy, so.
Oh my God.
I'm glad that other people are willing to go fight, because that's I'll do it if I have to, but I'm not the volunteer material.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I no, I love the Armed Forces, and because of I'm legally blind in my right eye, that constricts me from going and serving. But very, very grateful to anyone who has served, and we're very excited to start this new thing, and excited to talk to a veteran Canes fan who every single week. And so let's see if Travis is good to go.
Cool. I'll get him on the line right now. Hello?
Hello?
Travis, what's
up, brother? Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing much. All right, we now welcome on Travis Bruce. He is our first veteran of the week. Travis, you are on with Marsh and Jordan on the Fours Up podcast. Travis, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I definitely appreciate you guys bringing me on tonight.
No, absolutely, man. Absolutely. So, we just wanted to kind of, you know, talk to you both about the military, about you being a Canes fan. So let the people know, how long have you been in the military, and, what are some of the things that you've been fortunate enough to do, and some of the things that you're doing now for our armed forces?
Yeah. So I was actually in the Marine Corps for about 6 years. I got out, was a civilian police officer for 2 years, and then I came back into the Army, and I've been in ever since. Right now, currently, I work at the National Security Agency here in Maryland. But to go back to the Marine Corps, because that's where I started my career in the military. I was a military police officer. I protected President Obama, so I was actually fortunate enough to, travel all around the world. Got to, hang out with Barack Obama on a daily basis for the most part. Travel. Yeah, just I've been to every state in America besides two. And I've been to every continent in the world besides Antarctica. So I got to travel a lot. It was a lot of fun. And there's a lot of other cool stories that would go along with that. So if you have any questions about that,
that's incredible that you were able to spend, your days with the president. I have two questions actually. And then Jordan can ask some questions. First of all, where did you do your basic training for the Marines?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I did mine on the East Coast. I did mine at Parris Island, South Carolina.
Okay. So you and I have talked before, and I've made it known to Twitter. My father was in the Marines, but he was in San Diego, or as some call him, Hollywood Marines. Right. but second of all, and this is regardless of anyone's political views or anything, what were some of the biggest takeaways from that you gained from, just being around President Obama, just the kind of man he was?
Yeah, that's a good question too, and I get that one a lot. So yeah, Barack Obama is he's a really genuine guy. He's really cool, soft spoken. He's really big into sports, which I loved, because that's pretty much like 90% of our conversations were sports related. I'm a big Miami Heat fan, so he would always, he would always kind of give me crap about being a Heat fan, and always say go Bulls, because he's obviously from Chicago. And then every time he would see me, sometimes he knew I was a Dio Hurricanes fan, because I went to me and my buddy went to Camp David, which is like a secret spot where the kind of president can kind of relax and get away from people and stuff like that. And so we went there. So he found out I was a Hurricanes fan because we were in their they have a big nice gym there. And me and my buddy, Bolt, we were playing basketball, and I had a tank top on, and I have like a half a sleeve of Miami Hurricane tattoos on my arms. And he pointed out, and he's like, you're a U fan? And I was like, yes, sir. And then, so every time it's from that point on, we actually ended up playing a basketball game with him. And I wouldn't call myself a good basketball player, but I enjoy playing. My buddy Bowles, he actually played college for a while, so he's actually a lot better than I am. So we actually ended up, playing around at basketball with him, and it was kind of intimidating at first, because I was, you don't want to hurt him and stuff like that, and you don't want to do anything, because you have Secret Service watching the entire time. So we were playing with him. My buddy Bolts actually kind of juked him a little bit, and he kind of rolled his ankle, and Secret Service started screaming at us to get out. I thought that was pretty funny. And then he looked at the Secret Service guys and was like, I didn't tell them to leave. He's like, why don't you guys just stand over there and just watch us play basketball? And I was like, okay. But it was pretty funny. And yeah, so that's how you found out I was a Hurricanes fan. And then ever since then, every time he would see me, he would, you know, he would just throw up to you, you know. And I know that I'm pretty sure he's been on campus before too at Miami, so you know, he knows all about Miami. So
that's cool, man. That's cool. Yeah. So that was one of the questions I was gonna ask, is just, you know, what it was like being around him on a daily basis, and you know, like politics aside, like, you know, he just seems like a guy that I'd want to grab lunch with, you know. But my question was actually going to be about basketball. I was going to ask if you'd ever seen him play or got to play with him, and I was going to ask if he's actually pretty decent or if that's been a little overhyped.
Yeah, he's actually pretty good. He has a really good hook shot. He's tall. He's a tall guy, so he's like when his hook shot, I don't think he missed one time the entire time that we were playing with him. So he's actually not too bad for a guy his age and, you know, and stuff like that. So he's pretty good. He's extremely competitive as well. So he doesn't like to lose, that's for sure. And we ended up beating them because my buddy is like really good. He just shoots threes the entire time. And he's really good. So, but yeah, he's very competitive and, you know, fun natured. He likes to joke around a lot. So he's just like an everyday guy. Like, you know, you wouldn't even think that you were playing basketball with a president. You know, it's just, he's just acting like a, you know, his normal self, you know, on a daily basis.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. And then I was also gonna ask, kind of tongue in cheek, but like, I was going to ask if he started to call it like fouls more when he was down or something, like, you know, like getting that presidential treatment or not.
No, actually, yeah, no, he was, you know, he was, you know, like every time that we, you know, he would get, we bumping around and stuff like that. Like he liked the contact and he didn't mind it at all. And, you know, if he did call a foul, was, you know, every time he did it, he would laugh, you know, cause he's just like foul. But, you know, he just like, I think he was more just messing around with us than anything. So.
Yeah, no, I feel you. It was definitely tongue in cheek on my part.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome, man. That's, Jeez, that's a cool experience that I'm sure not a ton of people get to have.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, just a couple other things, just that, you know, I think that you know, you guys would like is, you know, he was really big into Starburst and his favorite color was pink. So when we would pick him up on the helicopter, I would take all the pink Starburst out, and you know, he would start digging around in the cup holder that we would put it in for him. And, you know, and as soon as he realized there wasn't a pink one in there, he would look back and he knew it was me, and I would start smiling because I was the only Marine that was like brave enough to even like mess around with him. I thought it was funny, and he didn't really care. He didn't get mad or nothing. He was just like, I see you, Bruce. I see you.
Well, that's like an experience that, I mean, obviously like 98-99% of us will never ever get to experience. That's incredible. That's incredible. So, you know, switching to the Canes, Travis, how did you come up being a Canes fan and everything like that?
Right. So, yeah. So when I was little, I'm the youngest, out of my three brothers. And so my oldest brother, Jason, he's 40, about to turn 41. And so I'm 30. So that's a pretty big age gap. And so when I was growing up, Jason was, my brother was a diehard Miami Hurricanes fan, and my dad was actually a Gators fan. And every time my dad would try to like put Gator stuff on me, I didn't want it because I wanted to be like my brother. And every time that the Hurricanes were on, my dad would be downstairs, my brother would be upstairs in his room watching the Hurricane games. And you know, when you're little and you got older brothers, you kind of want to be like them, you want to emulate them. You know, so that's pretty much how, you know, I became a Hurricanes fan. I ever since I was a little kid, just watching it with my brother growing up, you know, we're all from Florida. I was born in Jacksonville, but I grew up in Palm Coast, Florida. I'm not sure if you guys know where that's at, but it's about 30 minutes north of Daytona Beach.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. That's what I was going to ask. What part of if you grew up in Florida, in what part? Cause yeah, I'm more South Florida, Broward County, but. So when did you go to games in the Orange Bowl, or do you go to games at Hard Rock now, or because of your military thing you can, or what's the deal with that?
Yeah, so being in the military, it's kind of hard to, you know, take a lot of time off, especially, you know, back when I was in the Marines, because I was literally gone like 90% of the time. I was barely ever home. So I think I went to a few games. I want to say maybe out of the 2 years, I probably went to two Miami games, and they were both the games against Florida State. I went to one in Tallahassee and one in Miami. And when I was younger, I went to the Orange Bowl one time. I got to experience it one time when I was younger. So that was a cool experience, and I was pretty heartbroken when they, you know, decided to take our home away from us. So, but yeah, I try to go to as many games as I can. I went to the game 2 years ago in Texas against LSU.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we lost that game. So I try to get to them as much as I can. I try to go to at least one to two games a year now that I'm out of the Marines. And, you know, I live, I'm actually currently in near the DC area. So, I know this year we're going to Virginia Tech and Virginia. So I'll definitely be going to those games because they're probably only like 3 to 5 hours away for each stadium. So.
Okay. Good. You know, Blacksburg is, I've always wanted to go to a game in Blacksburg and Virginia too, just because of, you know, I'm a history buff. So I just think it would be cool to walk around, Virginia's campus. But, what are your thoughts on, obviously 2019 was hell for us Canes fans, but what are your thoughts moving forward? You know, spring practice, we just finished up our first week. We got Derek King, got Rhett Lashley, and obviously a lot of optimism. What are your thoughts looking forward to this year?
Yeah, it's a good question. So yeah, for me personally, like I like Manny Diaz. I think that, you know, by him, you know, firing the some of the coaches that we fired last year and brought in new personnel, I thought that within itself was already something that we haven't experienced from, you know, Al Golden era and the Richt era. They were too scared to, you know, to fire people because they were too close to people. And, so I'm glad that Manny Diaz on that end, you know, has made the changes. And I really do think that he's going to be a good head coach for us. I'm really excited about, you know, Derek King coming in and Rhett Lashley. That, like, pretty much I think everybody that we've brought in thus far is going to be, I think it's going to be different. I feel like that, like every year, you know, us Canes fans, we always get hyped because we're all diehard and we all want to see the Canes play. But for some reason this year, it just kind of feels a little bit different than it has in the past. You know, I know for example, there's some seasons that, you know, going into it, like obviously I want to be excited, but I kind of knew, I'm like, you know, I don't think we're going to do too well, you know, but this year is just different. I think the culture is starting to change. And, I think that Manny Diaz is going to get us in that spot. And I'm really excited to see how that Rhett Lashley offense going to run. I think that our guys are going to be touching the ball a lot more than we've seen in a very long time, you know. So, I'm very excited about the class coming in and everybody. I think it's just going to be – I think we're starting to, you know, build momentum for, you know, to create a program like the, you know, the Clemsons of the world and, you know, the Alabamas of the world, where they just constantly get all these good players, you know, and that's what we need, because Miami's Miami, and we have all the talent just sitting in our backyard, and we got to stop letting, you know, Clemson and all these other teams come in and just, you know, swoop up our guys. We got to keep these guys home. So, you know, I think that we're turning in the right direction on that.
So who's your prediction for MVP of the season? Are you going to go with like Greg Rousseau or Derek King? Maybe, you know, Cam Harris. You know, who are you picking as MVP of the team this year?
I think this year for me, it has to be Gregory. So, I mean, the guy's a freak. What was it last year? He came in, was it the fourth game that he started?
It wasn't until the sixth.
The sixth game. Okay. So, I mean, the amount of sacks that Greg Rousseau had last year coming in the sixth game. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, that is literally incredible. And, you know, the fact that, you know, he was so productive and I believe he was only a three-star and, he wasn't really getting much love from a lot of people, but he's showed the world that, you know, he's a great guy. And I think he's the best, honestly. I think if I had to pick one person on the offense or defense, I think he's the best player that we have on the entire team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the dude, I think Rousseau is like maybe – I think he's top five most talented Hurricanes I've seen since I've been a fan. Like, people – like, I know that we have so much history, like, in this program, but Rousseau is like another freakish animal.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think he'll be a top 10 pick next season. I mean, at least a first rounder. If he plays, even if he just repeats what he did last season, he should be a first rounder in the NFL draft. So
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Right.
I think him and Roche, I mean, them them together is, I'm just like, I'm trying to like picture it in my head right now how insane that's going to be on every opposing quarterback that we have to play next year. You can't double both of them. So somebody's getting to the quarterback. That's all I know.
Yeah. I mean, this might be a little bit of hyperbole, but I was just thinking, like, what are the chances, and I'm sure they're low, what are the chances that our defensive end rotation is, like, on par with an NFL team for next season? if we have two first-round picks there, and then, you know, like, Jalen Phillips, who knows how good he could be?
Yeah.
Right. And just speaking of those two, and you know, like you said, we didn't even get into Phillips and, you know, all the other guys we have at depth there. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's our defensive ends are literally insane. But Travis, the last question we wanted to ask, and this is sports in general. We've done like our top five rivals of Miami, our top three, you know, greatest Hurricanes of all time. And this week we're talking about our sports bucket list items. So what is your top five, like, places on your sports bucket list that you want to go to? Football, basketball, baseball, doesn't matter. What are your five bucket list choices?
That's a good question. I don't think I put much thought into this one. Bucket list. I would say, I mean, because I'm a big NFL fan too as well. So I would say I definitely want to see. I would like to eventually go to the Las Vegas Raiders new stadium. I think that's going to be outstanding. So that'd be cool when that comes out. And then as far as the other two,
I know I put you on the spot. Sorry, man.
Yeah, you did with that one. I mean, I'll just go with, you know, something more like, you know, something in the near future. Like, I've never been to Blacksburg, so I've heard that's been a great experience. So I'm really excited for that one as well. Man, you got me on this one.
There's so many choices, man.
There's so many different places to go see. So.
Yeah,
I guess, you know, I would probably say I've never been to a Miami Heat game, so that would be nice as well. So I've been unfortunate to get to ever go to a Heat game, so I think that would just be my last one. I'll pick some easy ones.
Hey, that's not a bad choice. I love going to games in the AAA growing up. But Travis, thank you so much for coming on, man, and thank you even more for your service and everything that you've done for our country. And, you know, we can't thank you enough for everything there. So thank you. And we appreciate you so much, brother.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Thanks you guys for having me on. And I think what you guys are doing is great, especially, you know, doing this whole new Vet of the Week. I think it's awesome. And, you know, it kind of makes me feel at home. I don't really see many Kings fans around here, so I definitely appreciate you guys doing this.
Yeah, of course, man. And I mean, I appreciate your service. I know Marsh does too. And, dude, just thanks for tuning in and supporting us. We love having you, man.
Most definitely. Thank you, guys. You guys have a great night.
All right, you too, brother.
See you, man. Go Canes.
Go Canes.
That's good stuff, man.
That was just a great way to open up the show. That, like, made my whole, like, week.
Yeah.
Like, when he was just like, he was just stoked of what we're doing, like the this whole Veteran of the Week thing, that like, that made me happy. Like, cause I mean, anyone who knows me knows that, like, and I said this at the beginning of the show when I was introducing this whole thing, but everyone who knows me knows that, like, I love the armed forces. I love everything that they stand for. And I love that they're willing to put their lives and you know, on the line for this thing. And it's just cool to talk with fellow Canes fans who have done that, like, and not that they're not just veterans, they're also Hurricanes fans. I remember it was the night before the UF game, and downtown Orlando was popping with Canes fans, Gators fans. There was so much going on, and me and my dad were just sitting at this place, and We ran into these two brothers, Canes fans, and one of them, I think he was, I think he's a Marine, or we'll have to have him on. But yeah, my dad, like, we just started talking with them, and they loved each other. My dad was like, "Oh, I'm coming to your wedding," and like everything like this, and it was just cool, especially for my dad, because, you know, he's a Canes fan, but he was also a Marine. So might have to get the big guy on the show one of these days.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. That'd be a great episode.
Holy crap. Okay, breaking news. This isn't football, but Rudy Gobert has tested positive for coronavirus.
Ha.
It's happening, bro. What is happening?
Dude.
What is happening?
Jeez, dude.
Holy cow.
Isn't that's so funny how he touched everything. And then
and Tom Hanks has it too.
Jeez.
Run, Forrest, run. is that okay to joke about? Like, can I make that joke? I mean I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah. No, it's good. Oh, gosh.
Holy crap, man. Good stuff.
Who knows what's going to happen with this whole stuff, man. But I'll say it again, because I said it, you know, back when he touched that. I said, this is really stupid, because, yeah, it might, you know, it might not be a big deal for guys like Rudy, or, you know, even guys like us. You know, people that are young and healthy and vibrant and stuff, but... You know, you never know who has family members that are high risk.
Yeah.
You know, like my mom is someone that's high risk. She, you know, did years of chemotherapy and still just struggles. It seems like she gets some type of infection every few, like, months. And so, like, if some dude is, like, trying to prove a point doing what Rudy does and gets me sick and then I get my mom sick, I'm going to have a huge problem with whoever was trying to prove a point. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it will be, I will unleash a kind of hell that is much worse than the coronavirus if they get my mom sick because they have to prove some point. You know, it's like, it's just stupid, man.
It just sucks, bro. Like, it just sucks. Like, it's just putting everything on hold and, like,
yeah,
doing so many things, like, and not just sports, like my brother, who's like serving his mission for the church, like all these missionaries might have to be sent home. Like,
yeah.
It's just crazy. And now, I don't know if you saw, I know you're not a Heat fan, but freaking Tyler Hero, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, but I love him so much. But, he checked back into the game tonight, and we and the Heat went on like a huge, like, huge 40-point first quarter and everything, and now we are down 8 with 4 minutes left to the Hornets. I know that was super random, but I tell you, bro, like, this team, I don't know what to do anymore, because this is Canes included, but like, this is just kind of going off on a tangent, which I know everyone who listens to loves the old Marsh tangents, but like, sports fans, if you're a sports fan and you like a team in football and the NBA, baseball, you are in season 365 days a year, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
And
so,
and like, and when you're an actual fan, like when you're like I like consider myself a pretty diehard Heat fan, been watching, you know, since I was a kid. And so like, it doesn't matter if it's like regular season, if the Heat lose any game, I will like lose my absolute mind. And you guys have seen it. Like, I don't take losing well at all. But I don't like, why do we do this as sports fans? Like, why do we make it so much so? I'm sure that you're the same way with the Jazz, but like, why do we get ourselves so worked up over these stupid teams? You know, like, why do I do this to myself?
I'm with you. Like, this year, I know the Jazz are like predicted to finish in the third seed. But even still, I've been so disappointed with them this year that, like, I haven't even watched a game for, like, 3 weeks, and I just can't even stomach talking about them. like I did this Mark Richts last year where I just kind of zoned out, you know, like I couldn't handle the, like the strain it was putting on me emotionally, like the disappointment week in and week out. So I just kind of tuned out. I'd still watch the games, but I just tried to shut it out of my life as much as I could. And, dude, you know, the Jazz general manager was saying before the season that, like, this is our championship window. You know, we got Donovan Mitchell, who's an all-star, Rudy, who's an all-star, Mike Conley, who's incredible, Bojan Bogdanovic, who was a borderline all-star and is, I mean, in my opinion, arguably our second best player after Rudy. Like, dude, I mean, I was expecting better than the fourth seed. If we get the fourth seed, I'll be extremely disappointed. If we're anything worse than the third best team in the NBA or fourth best team in the NBA, I'll be disappointed.
Well, I don't know if you'll have to be worrying about that anytime soon because Woj just tweeted that the NBA is suspending the season.
Oh, geez.
I don't know what that means, but the NBA has suspended its season, I guess.
Well, shoot.
Like, what is this? Like, what does this mean? What? Granted, like, I mean, this is very, like, I am just seeing this. We don't have the facts. We're not those, your hard-hitting journalists, but this is just total reaction. Like, what does this mean? Like,
dude, I think that just means that they're done. I mean, I don't know. They probably won't play playoffs, but, I mean, do you give out an MVP? Like, it has to be LeBron.
Like, or do they just, like, finish the season, like later, like in July or August?
I don't know, man. I doubt it because then they'd have to do training camp and then play again.
Yeah, like that's totally like, fair.
That'd be like having a 110 game regular season or 100 game regular season.
Dang, that sucks that I got Miami Heat 2020 NBA champions tattooed on my back. And I go back and.
I got Donovan Mitchell's autograph as a tramp stamp, dude. Right on my bikini line.
2020 MVP.
Yeah.
this is so insane. Like, ah, it's like that episode in The Office. Do you watch The Office? Have we?
Yeah, I've seen The Office three or four.
Yeah, it's like The Office episode when I don't remember what, like the preface or what happened before. It's just, but when Kevin just starts yelling, what does it all mean? Like, what is happening? So,
I don't know, man. Speaking of, you wanted to grill me about my Seinfeld take earlier.
Okay, yeah. Oh my, okay, Jordan. I love you. I love you like a brother. And
serious, sit down right now.
I consider you a very good friend at this point. But okay, let's talk about this, bro. Let's talk about this, and then we'll get into some mailbag questions. But bro, like, you don't like Seinfeld?
Okay, here's the honest truth, okay?
Satan.
I find Larry David funny. I find Jerry Seinfeld funny. I find the TV show Seinfeld to be kind of bland. I'm not saying it's bad. But what I'm saying is I think it was one of those things that was really, really great in its time. And then it kind of got passed up and people don't, like, admit that. But for nostalgia reasons, they're like, oh, in its time, it was the greatest. So therefore, it is the greatest still.
I hear what you're saying.
I feel like the humor is dated. Like when I'm not saying it wasn't ever funny, but I'm saying when I watch it, it's very, I don't know, the bits just kind of drag on too long and the humor is a little too dry to, I don't know. You know, it just doesn't do it for me, man. I've never watched Seinfeld and like loved it.
And I completely understand with like, I feel like the humor definitely could be a little dated. And I feel like that kind of humor doesn't resonate with maybe kids coming up today. And I feel like you have to know that kind of humor. Like you have to understand like what, like Larry David's humor, you have to like get that because, And maybe it's like more of an East Coast thing too because you know there's a lot of my West Coast friends who they watch Seinfeld or they watch Curb Your Enthusiasm and they don't laugh, they don't get it, and I'm over here dying because I know like these jokes that they're telling. And I don't know, I remember just watching it as a kid with my dad, like every single day. And then I started watching on my own. I've probably seen every episode millions of times. It'll always be my favorite show next to Entourage and The Office. But dude, I mean, George Costanza, man, like I am like George. Someone tweeted a few weeks ago that I'm the Mormon version of Larry David, and that I want to get that tweet framed. like that was the funniest thing I had ever seen. Like, cause I've heard that before. Like, Marshall, you're like a Larry David. Cause I don't know how I am. I'm just weird, but I just find that humor just so funny, bro. Like, and George Costanza, his crazy freakouts, like I do that all the time. Like, I don't know. I can't even explain its greatness. It's like watching Ray Allen shoot the basketball. It's just so pure. It's like you can't even describe it. You just have to watch.
I definitely tend to resonate more with, like, I don't know. Like, so I think back to all the funniest movies that I would watch when I was growing up, right? And then I started to get into, like, the more crude stoner comedy type stuff, you know, like Seth Rogen movies, or like, I love Jonah Hill. Like, to me, Jonah Hill, I could watch him walk down the street and I'd find it humorous. Like that dude is hilarious to me. So like, that's the kind of stuff that really makes me laugh. And now when I rewatch these shows that I thought were so funny when I was growing up, like, just feels dated, man. Like,
no, I get that.
Madison, like, it's funny still, but I'm just like, man, this isn't as funny to me as, like, Forgetting Sarah Marshall is, you know, or this isn't as funny to me as, like, This Is the End.
My gosh, that's one of my all-time favorite movies. See, yeah, I mean, I love, like, the Seinfeld stuff, but, like, Chris Farley is also, like, my favorite actor of all time, so I love that kind of comedy. And then I also love, like Will Ferrell and Vince Vaughn and those guys. And then I love Seth Rogen, and I love Jonah Hill. Like, I freaking watched Pineapple Express the other night, and it was just so funny. And you know, I've never seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Really, dude? That's like,
never seen it.
Okay, if you ever go through a really bad breakup, and, you know, you're just kind of being a sad sap for a few weeks, like people are, you know, it's like the best movie for that, you know, that and Swingers. I had one my freshman
year. Hey, good on that. Swingers is very forgotten about, but after I watched that, I call everyone baby for like the next 24 hours. Love Vince Vaughn.
Oh, dude. Vince Vaughn, I always say my two favorite comedy actors are Jonah Hill and Vince Vaughn. Bro. I actually, before I go into job interviews, I always watch, like, highlights of Vince Vaughn.
Bro, my dad is Vince Vaughn. Like, he is Vince Vaughn. Like, it's so funny. You need to rewatch Seinfeld. Or, like, it's so – do you like Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I mean, kind of the same thing. Like, I've really wanted to get into Curb Your Enthusiasm. I just can't really.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
I mean, someone just asked me, I mean, we can kind of count this as a mailbag question. Someone on Twitter just asked me, what the funniest sitcom in my opinion was. So I'll give you my top five funniest shows, because that doesn't mean favorite, right?
Yeah.
So, to me, the funniest shows that I've ever watched that are TV shows are Entourage, Scrubs, let's see, Blue Mountain State, and The League. Like, those four are the funniest TV shows. Now, out of those, I'd say Scrubs is really the only one that I'd put in the conversation of, like, best sitcom, you know, just because it has, like, it's much more than just a cheap joke, right?
Yeah.
I love Entourage. That might be my favorite show, but I wouldn't submit that to, like, greatest TV show of all time, you know?
I mean, I would honestly put it in top 10. I love Entourage, and I think you and I need to somehow create our own Entourage podcast.
I love it, bro.
Start from episode one and just go through,
That's what we can do in Florida. Let's just binge all of Entourage.
Yeah, I do that in Idaho. Yeah, I'll freaking do it any day of the week. Hell, heck yeah.
I'm just saying, while we're in Florida, if everything's locked down, bro.
I mean, we'll do that at 2 a.m. anyway in Florida. Yeah, freaking Entourage is free. Yeah, my top three. I just have to go Entourage. I have to go Seinfeld, Entourage, and then The Office. Like, it just doesn't get better than that, man. I love those shows.
Funniest or favorite?
Honestly, like, favorite too, because I don't, I'm kind of an idiot. I'm kind of stupid. Like, I don't really, comedy and sports is about like my two limitations. I tried watching House of Cards and I didn't get it. I watched all these smart shows and I'm like, wait, what? And so, I love The Sopranos. That's another great show. Trying to think what else, but yeah.
Dude, do you like action shows? James Bond, Jason Bourne type stuff?
I hate Jason Bourne because I hate Matt Damon. I hate Matt Damon. I don't really know why. He's probably a good actor, but have you ever seen the movie Team America?
I mean, I've seen clips from it.
So they make
all the clips that everyone in middle school watches, but that's it.
It is probably the funniest movie ever created. But they make fun of Matt Damon in that movie, and I remember watching as like a kid saying, "Hey, yeah, Matt Damon sucks." Like after watching it, and ever since then, like I don't like Matt Damon, but I'm not a huge NBA. I mean, not NBA. I'm not a huge action movie guy. I like mob movies. I don't know if that counts as action, but yeah.
Oh, dude, have you seen The Gentlemen yet? I know there's like three people on Twitter that every time I tweet about The Gentlemen, they just like go after my throat because they just can't stand that I find this movie so intriguing.
I have not seen it. I'm still trying to make my way through The Irishman.
Oh, dude, no, you got to go see The Gentlemen, bro. It is hilarious, and it's a mob movie, but it's like it's a freaking hilarious mob movie. But you still get that feeling like, you know, at the end of Godfather when whatever the main dude, I can't think of it, Corleone, when it's Michael, right? When he does like his thing and you just get that feeling where you're like, holy crap, dude, like I need to do something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, you get that feeling at the end still, you know? I mean, I'm not comparing it to The Godfather, but I'm just saying it's still like that that quality in the mafia movies where they just like, you know, they just gently and violently move everyone out of their way so that they can make all their money, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
It's good stuff, man.
Okay. All right, well, Kate, one thing I want to talk about with the Canes, or should we answer some mailbag questions first? What do you think?
Let's do some mailbag stuff real quick.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. So I want you to ask, starting off, I want you to ask the question that your girlfriend asked.
Okay, my girlfriend, bless her heart, she's okay, so she's trying to be supportive and, you know, just be a great girlfriend, which she is. Love her to death. So her mailbag question, Marsh, is what is the best game day food? So what do you do on game day? Like, you're prepping for a big game. Let's say it's Florida State or someone else. What are you guys cooking or having ordered in?
Well, it depends on a lot of things. Like, if I'm at the stadium, like, I'm a big, huge wings guy. I came up. And wings was always the number one tailgate food at the stadium. So that's definitely up there. It also depends, like, if I'm watching it from home, like in Utah. My father is an incredible cook and a legend around the neighborhood for some of the things that he's been able to wing up in the kitchen. But it really just depends on what he's feeling. I know the Notre Dame game a few years ago, we did gumbo. It was amazing.
Dude, I would do horrible things for a good gumbo.
Oh, it was really, really good. And then, I mean, he's great at cooking with Italian. And so, I mean, it really just, I mean, if I'm tailgating, it definitely changes things. You know, I'm fine with just going and get I guess you're not from South Florida, you don't get this yet, but getting a pub sub right before heading to the tailgate. I've done that many a times. But really, I mean, because I don't want to go into Hard Rock Stadium and spend $15 on chicken fingers.
I feel you.
It's awful, bro. Just wait. But as far as like a like a game day snack. Pizza's up there. I'm a huge, huge pizza guy. But
I love pizza, dude.
You can never really go wrong, you know, as long as it's comfort food and, you know, you got the game on. You can't really go wrong. There's a few staples in there like that everyone does, like wings and pizza and everything. But other than that, like, yeah. What about you?
I'm with you. So some of my staples are pizza. I also I hit up Chinese food every once in a while, have that ordered in. Last season, like a really good Piri Piri chicken place, like moved in, you know, just down the street from my place. So it's like fried chicken that was covered in this spicy, you know, African sauce that's amazing. So that was kind of my go-to last season was Piri Piri chicken that was deep fried. I got a funny story about this. At least I find it funny. So I have Crohn's disease. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's like it's an autoimmune disease where essentially like my digestive system is very sensitive and touchy, and you know, I often eat things that like, you know, just are painful and uncomfortable to digest or whatever. And so sometimes when I eat too much junk food or just randomly even, I go into what I call a food coma, but it's different. And that like, I'll start to get cold sweats and like clammy and, you know, my face, like first it flushes, it gets bright red and then I go pale. And then I pretty much just pass out wherever I am. Like I fall asleep, but I don't really have a choice, you know.
Like, I'm sorry that I'm laughing, but
no. It's totally fine. I think it's funny, you know, how I just like fall asleep in random restaurant booths and stuff. But then also, dude, I have the bad habit of being a stress eater. So, like, when I'm watching the Hurricanes play, I eat probably 3 or 4 times more food than I do in a normal meal. Okay. Because I'm just always so nervous. And so, like, I have this pattern of, like, I'll get a pizza, you know, that I'm like, if I pace myself, you know, I'll eat, like, 3/4 of this thing by the end of the game. And, like, it'll be chill. Well, I did this in college. I'd eat, like, a whole Little Caesars pizza in the first quarter and then be passed out by halftime and then miss the rest of the game.
See, I'm like, when I'm stressed, like I don't eat. Like there are times like I get so like with my anxiety and everything, like if I get stressed about school or something, like I won't eat for like 24 hours. But then when I'm feeling like, then when I'm like relieved and everything, that's when I like, I go hit Taco Bell hard or I go hit Mickey D's hard. I, as everyone knows, I'm a huge fast food guy. And so if I'm home, like, or if I'm up in Idaho and like, I'm not with my friends or family. And so I'm like, I'm kind of just fending for myself. I just hit the Mickey D's drive through, bro. Like, so in pertaining to your girlfriend's question, I mean, just what I there's not a lot of wrong answers because football goes hand in hand with eating. So.
No, I'm with you. There's pretty, like you said, I think it has to be like, I mean, I'll probably get in trouble for saying this by someone out there who's sensitive, but like guy food, you know what I mean? Like bar food type stuff. It needs to be that kind of stuff, comfort food. But any way you go, I mean, a bowl of homemade chili that's really good would be great. Gumbo's great. Fried chicken, wings, pizza, you know, anything like that. Nachos. I'm with you.
Now, bro. I'm starving right now.
Dude, I haven't eaten a carb in like 4 days.
That's insane. That's insane. Okay. Next question. I tweeted out, we got a ton. So thank you for that. Okay. This is from Hunter Mayer 20. And he says, who do you think has to be the most improved players for offense and defense? And he says, to me, it's John Campbell and DJ Ivy. So,
those are really good picks.
Yeah, those definitely are. I mean, and it's a question that's been thought about and talked about because there's always those few people who need to make that step. And so, okay, let's answer both our offense, then we'll answer both our defense. For offense, for me, it's Mark Pope. Mark Pope is someone I've talked about him immensely on this program just because there's been so much hype about him. He was arguably the best wide receiver in that 2018 recruiting class. And I know he went through some injury problems last year, but so many people prior to 2019 were saying, oh, this guy's going to – like, this is the breakout year for him. And I didn't see it. I'm not going to question his work ethic or anything because I'm not on Green Tree, but – Just some things that I've heard, and this goes for all the wide receivers because the whole unit is being questioned at this point. But you know, Mark Pope, I think he just has a lot to prove to the people who've supported him. Now, I mean, there's a lot of people who are just like, all right, now I'm just at the wait and see with this kid just because I haven't seen anything yet. But yeah, he's my player who needs to improve a lot this year.
Okay, so I had two names that popped into my head immediately, and it's going to seem like I'm piggybacking off of both of you. But the first one that popped into my head was Zion at left tackle, and then the other one's Mark Pope. So, I mean, we need those two dudes. I mean, we need somebody on the offensive line to really step up and have like a all-ACC third team kind of season. Yeah. And we really need someone in the wide receiver core other than D. Wiggins to step up. I'm already banking on Wiggins being good, but we need someone else that's like, you know, they can contribute and be a very solid number two and can even take over a game if they have to.
Absolutely. Kind of like how we had Amon Richards and Braxton Berrios.
Exactly like that. You know, we need a Braxton Berrios. I feel like D. Wiggins is going to have a really good year for us, but we need that other guy, so if D. Wiggins is getting doubled or is having a hard time getting open or something, that we can still have a guy go off for 120 yards.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's a great point. Okay, on defense, my guy,
DJ Ivy was a good pick.
DJ Ivy is a really good pick. I think he was struggling last year, like midseason. And then he kind of ended the year on a really good note. So if he didn't have that turnaround, then I would have put him. I'm trying to think of, you know what? I know who my guy is. My guy's Nesta Silvera, at defensive tackle. He's someone I'm really, really high on his talent. And, this is going to be the first year that, you know, we'll see him, you know, with, you know, he has that veteran mentality, and he's also going to be injury free, you know, God willing, going into the regular season, he won't be injured. But I think he has a lot to prove this year, because his mouth does write a lot of checks. His play sometimes hasn't been able to cash. I think, you know, maybe he'll even admit that at some point. He's blocked me on Twitter, so I can't really talk to him that much.
Hey, Brevin Jordan follows you though.
Hey, Brevin Jordan. Hey, that's my guy. He's my best friend. Love Brevin. Love Brevin. Future, once he's done playing with Miami, maybe he'll come on the podcast. Future show, future friend of the program. But yeah, Nesta does not think the same way though. But Nesta's my pick just because he came into Miami with so much hype and, you know, make the crib great and everything like that. So I'm junior season has to be a big year for him, and I think it will be.
Yeah, so, I mean, Nesta was one of the top two guys I was thinking of, too. So, I was going to echo pretty much everything you said. But, I mean, I just feel like, kind of like offensive line and wide receiver, like, corner is kind of the position where someone has to step up. So, to be different, I mean, I'm going to say Christian Williams or Al Blades. Like, ooh. You know, and that's just to be different because DJ Ivy is fine there too. But I feel like we have a lot of guys that are just decent. And, you know, Christian Williams didn't get a lot of burn last year, and who knows how he will do. But we just need someone to separate themselves. And, you know, we need a guy that can have a lockdown season like Trajan Bandy did his sophomore year. He didn't have a great year as a junior. But we need a guy that can play at least as well as Bandy did his sophomore season. You know, and just kind of like confidently take on a, you know, like an all ACC wide receiver that lines up across from him.
Oh, definitely. I mean, well, cause I mean, when North Carolina comes rolling into Hard Rock on October 24th, they got a few ballers at wide receiver. And so
I'm worried we're going to get torched by them, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, those are
good
choices too. I had another question that was right there. Okay. With King and this is from Hurricane Will 20. It says, with King and this offensive coordinator, what defense on the schedule is going to give us problems, if any?
Honestly, man, I'm not too worried about anyone.
Yeah. We're not playing. I mean, until we get to Charlotte, we're not playing like a team like Clemson that is just stacked at every position. Obviously, a team like Virginia Tech scares me just a little bit, just because they always seem to be pretty solid on defense. Obviously, we kind of torn them up the last 2 years with our offense at some points. But just going up to Blacksburg in November, that just seems like a game where the defense is really going to have to step up for both teams. And so
they lost their dude, though. What was their defensive coordinator's name?
Bud Foster.
Yeah, he's gone now. So
it's true. True. FSU has that really good defensive tackle. I don't care enough to look up his name. It's just, if we're consistent and doing what we should be able to do with Lashley and Derek King, like, I don't see like too many defenses giving us real problems, you know?
I'm not too worried about other teams so much as I just know there's going to be a few games where we play ourselves, you know, where we play ourselves out of it. And I mean, that's the Hurricane special, though, is playing yourself out of a winnable game. So more so than any like scheduling mismatches or matchups that I'm worried about, I'm worried about how many times we're going to sabotage ourselves.
Yeah, I'm just already not even looking forward to it. Okay. So do you have like a specific team then?
No, I mean, I don't know. Well, I'm just going to say Pitt just because they usually have a pretty good defense.
That's fair. Pitt's just that team, just that gritty team.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So I got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is actually pretty much live. So Ethan, regular contributor. What up, Ethan? So I just got this from him. Says, oh crap. He says, I'm always too late. And then what did he say after? Okay. Who do you think ends up being the best receiver out of our freshman class?
That's a good one. That's a good one. My vote, I think it's going to be Michael Redding. All of these other guys, you know, Xavier Estrepo, he has that quickness that you like in a slot. I don't know. Like, there's been so many people who pronounce his name in different ways, but Worsham, Daz, I think he's that possession receiver, and he can get you that catch on a third and seven on a slant route. Keyshawn Smith, obviously he has the size and he has the wheels. I mean, the kid can absolutely fly. I think Michael Redding is the most complete receiver out of all these guys. He was a Under Armour All-American. The dude is just your complete receiver. He can, you know, he reminds me a lot of Amon Richards. He can go on a crossing route, but then take the catch, you know, 30, 35 yards. I love what Michael Redding did in high school, and I love what he can do going forward with the Canes.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So, my safe bet is Xavier Estrepo. However, I do think that there's a chance that Keyshawn Smith, dude, I'm drawing a blank. That's his name, right? Keyshawn Smith?
Yeah, Keyshawn, yeah.
I think there's a chance that he's a star. Like, I wouldn't put my money on that, but just, like, I love his attitude, man. I love that he bullies dudes. And, word on the street is that he's having a great camp so far. So, if I was going to put money on it, I'd say Restrepo. However, it wouldn't surprise me. If you told me that, like, one of these dudes is going to be like a first round pick, I'd tell you that it was Keyshawn Smith.
Really?
Yeah, I just feel like he has the most upside However, I mean, he's kind of a boom or bust prospect, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah. Well, and this is what's great about this question in particular, is that I think Redding is going to be the best. You think Keyshawn Smith is going to be the best, but I think the other freshman receivers are going to like have really good careers for Miami. Like it just because I think Redding is the best doesn't make it so that I think Restrepo is going to struggle. Like this is a very, very good group of freshman wide receivers that, we may see one or two have a few plays this year, but come like a year or two, like it's going to be a very, very deep and very talented wide receiving core.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I'm really happy with this whole wide receiving core. So
good deal. Okay. I think we have time for one more question.
Yeah, I got a decent one. Let me see. Okay. I feel like we'll probably have the same answers. This is from Tyler Chumley. Which game in the upcoming 2020 season excites you the most and which game worries you the most?
Oof.
I feel like there's two. I feel like there's an obvious answer for both of these.
Yeah, yeah. And there, I feel like there's multiple obvious answers for both of them. For me, I mean, the game that I'm always the most excited for is FSU. It's FSU, and I'll most likely be at that game and hopefully, push that winning streak to four. I'm also very, very excited about the UNC game. Very, very excited about that. I think we could bring out the blackout jerseys. I think it could, if both teams play up to how they're supposed to up until October 24th, I feel like it could be a primetime, really big game, like how Miami Virginia Tech was a few years ago.
Oh, the rumor is that they're actually going back to the smoke jerseys with the orange helmet.
Shut up.
Okay, I will. I'll shut up.
That was funny, though. I mean, that was good because you knew it would get a reaction.
I did. I got you figured out, Marshall.
Okay, which one excites you the most?
I'm going FSU excites me the most and UNC scares me the most. I just, it's FSU. Of course, I'm going to get hyped for it. There's nothing better than null tears, as I call it, and when they're crying on Twitter and wanting to fire their coach and just feeling like the sky is falling, there's nothing better, man.
They're such idiots. They're such losers. Yeah.
If you told me that I could like go on a date with the prettiest girl in Hollywood or just like watch Florida State Seminole fans have a meltdown, I'd rather watch the meltdown.
Well, I need a date really badly, so I might pick the first one. But as far as games that scare me, it's always I'm really afraid of Michigan State. I'll be completely honest.
I don't blame you.
And then also Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech frighten me just because they're road games. Yeah. Georgia Tech has always scared the living bejesus out of me. Even though they don't run the option anymore. And then obviously Virginia Tech, I feel like not enough people are talking about that game.
We're going to have the Marquez Ezard revenge game. He's going to go for 200 yards on us.
Oh my gosh. I completely forgot about that guy.
Yeah.
But yeah. And we'll answer a few more of these mailbag questions a little bit later, but for right now we have another guest coming on. Jordan, is he ready to go?
Yeah. Just give me 1 second, Adam. Hello?
Hello?
John, what's up, man? How you doing? This is Jordan.
What's up, Jordan? How are you?
What's going on, man? It's Marsh.
Mamba.
What's going on? We now welcome on John from the state of the U. How long have you been with the website now, John?
Since May, I'd say.
Okay, so coming up on a year. Well, hey, man, thanks for hopping on, brother.
Of course, dude. I'll do anything for this podcast.
Love to hear it, brother. Okay. Well, so let's talk some Canes, man. First week of spring practice is in the books. What is I don't know if you were there. I don't know if you got to go cover practice, but what are your thoughts about the team four practices in?
I mean, nothing new. I mean, it happens every year. Just think we'll go undefeated, It makes it great knowing that we have De'Ara King. I mean, I'm sure that's the thought that goes through everyone's head. A true playmaker, finally. a proven Team Martell play style, I'd say. And then just the other additions, and then who we have returned. I'm really excited for McLeod. I think McLeod's going to be very vocal, and he'll be the best player on defense. Honestly, could be. I think now he's in a position to succeed finally at Miami. Then obviously our D-line, probably it's probably like a Clemson 2.0 from a few years ago, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't see why not. It can't be as successful, especially in the ACC. And then, I don't know, man. I really believe in this wide receiver group. Like what you guys said in previous podcast, I think Jeremiah Payne will be wide receiver one when it's all said and done. I really think someone with his size will definitely contribute and help D'Eriq. And then, I don't know about you guys. I love Mike Harley. I don't know what you guys take on him, but I think Mike is a perfect slot for Miami in this new offense. So, I don't know. I really think we should go undefeated with our roster and then our matchups per week.
Undefeated, bro? Come on.
Okay, realistically, if I – that's just the Kane in me, you know. I say 11-1, man. I don't know.
We should, but are we going to? There's no chance.
Probably not, you know. We'll probably sit out here prior to the bowl game at 9 wins.
Yeah.
Pull Miami stuff.
I'm going through our schedule just like there's no chance we lose this one. There's no chance we lose this one. But, you know, I mean –
there is a chance, though.
I know you're right, but that's not what being a Miami Hurricanes fan is all about. It's all about hype season, man.
Exactly.
I know.
I go through every offseason thinking it's 12-0 or bust, and it turns out it's bust every single time, I'd say.
Yeah, no.
But I don't know. I look at, like, even the away games, Michigan State. I don't know if it's just me. I'm not scared of Michigan State whatsoever. I just watched, like, every second of the combine, and I feel like there's a Michigan State player in almost every group. So they definitely lost talent, I'd say. They lost their quarterback. Don't know how productive he was there, but if he's in the combine, he definitely did something with them. So it is a away game, but
their coach too.
Mel Tucker, yeah, but I don't know how he has to get used to those players. I don't know. I think with Manny and in the position we are in with all the talent from Florida we have and just out of state, I think we should be better than on paper. And
oh, gosh.
I don't know, man. That's just the case in me. I'm just
getting into the whole talent argument. Oh, gosh. You know,
well, it happens to me every week, if I'll be honest.
I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. And I think we've – I mean, Marsh is too. I just think he's scared of being disappointed again, man.
I mean, I don't know if it's just me. I still think we should have been in Florida last year. They had 12 sacks and barely beat us. We had like what, 2? I think we outplayed them. Just we were outcoached in some scenarios. But I don't know. I think we could be right there. Definitely lost the FIU and LA Tech hurt us for the Palmetto kids. Which is clearly stated for Leonard Taylor. But I think if we get 11 wins, we could be right back in there. But we definitely have work to do. Definitely.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Jordan. I'm trying to control control my thoughts right now. You go ahead.
Don't let the 12-win temptation get to you, Mark.
Yeah.
Bad. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So it sounds like you're pretty in on Manny Diaz then, right? Like, how do you feel about him long term? Go ahead and tell us how you felt after the season and now how you're feeling after the dust is kind of settled. So
I'm a firm believer in Manny. Since the day we got him, you can tell, like, he's built for Miami, I'd say. Like, that's kind of cliche, but I'm really positive in Manny with how he's handled things. And, I mean, last year, that's just a learning year. It's the first time ever being a true coach, like controlling everyone on the roster, then having to pick up where we were left off with Rick leaving out of nowhere and different stuff like that. I am sure that he knew of players that he wanted to clear out, I'd say. And I think he did some of that this year. And now that he knows what to look for in coordinators, especially on the offensive side, I really think it's hard to do worse than last year, but then again, we said that the year before hiring Enos. But I don't know. I think he is a good long-term coach, I'd say. But they just need to put it on the field, man. They need to actually get it done and not have an excuse for these silly losses we have throughout the season.
No, for sure. I mean, you said it perfectly. I mean, there just can't be excuses, man. Like, I can understand, like, last year, like, going into Florida, like, I was still pissed off as hell, but, like, it's not the same as when you lose to FIU. Like, that should never, ever – losing shouldn't be tolerated anyway, but –
Didn't we have 3 at halftime versus FIU or something?
We lost to FIU last year?
Crazy, right?
Are you serious?
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
But John, let me ask you this. This is something that came out at the end of last week that the offensive line apparently was really improving, and this is something that I've been telling people. And obviously there's a long way to go, but how are you feeling about the offensive line? Do you think that, you know, we're gonna have like tell me your starting five for your offensive line, just anything you know, about them improving, anything like that?
Well, I mean, definitely something that will help the O-line is definitely – I mean, anything to help the O-line will definitely be, like, around – I'd say getting the ball out quicker of the quarterback's hands. I mean, I'm sure we all know that if you can get the ball out less than 2.5 seconds, that'll make your O-line look somewhat better. But I think now from the difference from last year to this year's just experience added – I mean, who knows? Zion Nelson could be the starter again, left tackle. Who knows? But I saw recently how we had John Campbell starting a left tackle, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He John Campbell had a really good week in practice.
Then, yeah, I mean, I don't care who starts as long as they're definitely the best player on the field. And then I know you like him, that guy Usman.
Yeah.
Transfer. I mean, I would love to finally see a transfer lineman start. I know he missed on the guy from Butler. But – I would love to see Usman start, and I don't know. One of my favorite linemen on the whole team is Ja'Kai Clark. I think that guy is a pure stud. Definitely coming out of Georgia was. I think he went to what was that high school? The powerhouse in Georgia. It was
I'm not sure about the high school, but yeah, he is a Georgia product. I do know.
Yeah. I mean he balled versus Florida State. I remember that, especially on that one screenplay. He ran like his own 40-yard dash, I'd say there. But, man, I love Navon Donaldson. Hopefully this is the year he can put it together and then get some good NFL tape for himself. Because, geez, I'm pretty sure when he came to Miami, he was a high four-star, like a really, really highly rated four-star. And then, I mean, this is quite to the future, but he could be like a Seymour, the guy from Central now. You know, I think we really need to land guys like that are local, that don't come around often. And – definitely, I think our O-line will improve with Derek King able to extend plays on his own. He's not going to be like Jaren when he just freezes when he sees the defender or he likes to throw a pick, like versus ball attack, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no. I was there. I saw.
I'll never forget that day. It was a sad day thinking we would win by 40 and then
– It was hell.
Yeah. A lot of days were like that last season. A lot.
Virginia Tech, like, especially because I flew down for that game. It was my birthday weekend. It was just down 28-0 in the first quarter. That was the worst.
But that's what makes it worse, because, you know, our defense, from watching you, we're top 10, I'd say. And when you put them in situations like that, when they have to stop a team starting at their own 40 from, like, silly interceptions like that, definitely fluctuates the stats in the wrong way. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think even when our team was – when Blake Baker supposedly had a bad year, I think he had a better year than people actually anticipated due to what Enos did for him in the wrong ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. I 100% agree. I think Blake Baker was underrated last year.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, listen, I wasn't a fan of him at first, mainly because he didn't start Greg. I'll be honest, I was very confused. But no disrespect to Scott Patchen. I mean, he just landed at –
Florida State.
I mean, I'm happy for him. Obviously, he went there to be a playmaker for a young program. That's definitely on the up and coming. But I think Greg is top 5, either this year or next year. And I think the fact that we have Ed Reed boosts the chance of him coming back for his senior year, no matter what year we have.
That is a very, very good point that I've never really thought of.
Huh. Yeah. I think about this stuff, Marsh. I'm telling you.
that's a good point because, I mean, Ed Reed was a player that, you know, he came back for his senior season. And, you know, if Ed Reed could, like, convince guys like Brevin and Rousseau and some of these other guys to come back for their senior year, that would be huge.
Exactly. I love the sentiment, but I just don't think there's any way. I mean, it's just a different era, you know? Like,
but then again, there's people like Travis Etienne doing it. So it's not like it's too far the question, but I don't know. My view, if we do end with 11 wins, counting a bowl game win, which I think we just should win every game besides the Bama's. But I don't know. If we end the season – like how we expect, and we are close to, say, the playoffs, say, next year if we return the vast majority of our team, then, I don't know. I think there is a slight chance you could convince him. I mean, I imagine him side by side with Jalen Phillips, you know? Like, just them two.
I love it. I love Jafari Harvey, too. That man is ginormous.
No, I'm excited for Harvey. I'm excited. And if he has a good year, then we can get his former teammate out of Vero, not. I think it's Kevin Knott. They used to be teammates, and he's a 4-star DN that Miami's trying to recruit. I know that. So yeah. We need all the help we can get, man. And I really
So John, let's transition into recruiting, because I know you're really big on recruiting. Talk about the piece that you just wrote for State of the U about Malik Rutherford.
Yeah. So definitely a player that I love, that play style. I love fast, tiny receivers who are underrated, under the radar. Like Xavier Restrepo, I just feel like they just have a bigger chip on their shoulder. You know, they're not what modern football is nowadays. Some people like to say, like, people like the 6'4", 6'2", type receivers. But I definitely say the teams that win a lot of Super Bowls and national championships do have a smaller guy who has the breakaway speed, you know? And then with Malik Rutherford, I mean, he's every bit of that. He's 5'9", 165 listed. And when I watch his tape, obviously the ability of him being able to score almost every play is very impressive. But there's two plays that I loved, and it was when he added blocking plays. You know, you don't see many receivers putting that at least in a huddle, I'd say. And especially at 5'9", blocking throughout till the whistle's blown. I find that just something you can't teach. You know, I feel like Dugans, when we had him, that's what his biggest concern was teaching players how to block. But I feel like that's the only thing he was kind of good at. I wasn't a big Dugans fan. I thought we should have recruited way better when he was here. But that is something that is kind of rare to find a receiver who is willing to block, especially at that size. But, I mean, you can definitely tell Malik was a big reason why Champagnat won the state championship last year, I'd say.
Yeah, okay. So Malik is coming out of Chaminade then?
Champagnat, yeah, where Greg Rousseau and Jalen Harrell are from.
Oh, okay. And that's Dade County, correct?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah, because okay. We just got Harrell from there. I remember Harrell was that stud safety that was from Central.
Mm-hmm.
Transferred over.
Well, yeah, good deal. Sorry, go ahead, Jordan.
No, yeah, I mean, I mentioned in the article, but Jalen Harrell is the same exact size and speed, I'd say, as Tutu Atwell. I mentioned that in the article, like I just said. Do you guys know who that is, the guy from Louisville?
Yeah.
That guy, in some college – accounts, they list him a top 10 receiver that's returning in all of college football. So that's definitely awesome. There's room for success as someone that size that is utilized. So why I like Harley and stuff like that.
My opinion on receivers is I don't want them. So I want receivers that are either over 6'2 or under 5'10. Like if you're between 5'10 and 6'2, no thanks, you know?
Yeah.
But the tall, rangy guys on the outside, and then the short speedsters like you're talking about on the inside. So
yeah, but it was nice about Malik Rutherford that I noticed in his huddle is that at 5'9", that guy's lined up outside too, and he has really good ball tracking skills, I say. But that guy is very athletic and is now you can tell like nowadays in football and all sports like you don't play a position, I'd say, for most people. No matter how you can be used around the field. So definitely seem like, because he played on all parts on the offense, outside, slot, even running back, and then quarterback for runs. So that's definitely something that I would look forward to in recruiting the kid, because I don't know, I feel like it's kind of hard to find that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just makes you more versatile. I'd say, like, I mean, Greg, he got a 6'6" and was a safety, you know? So
I saw that picture tweeted out like a week or two ago. I knew that Greg was like obviously like a little lanky coming in, but I just read how much they played him at receiver and safety in high school, and dude, it's crazy. It's insane.
I don't know how that's possible to be 6'6" and covering center field like that, but that's talent right there.
It's nuts. Let me ask you this. Who were sticking with recruiting, who are three targets? Who are three targets that Miami needs to sign for 2021?
No question. I'd say the receiver from what's his name? Ja'Cory Brooks, I believe.
Okay.
He's with Carroll City. Might be wrong, but I mean, that guy is the number two receiver in all of nation. And he's, I believe, like 6 foot 175, something similar to that, but that guy's he's a playmaker. He is special. And I think, like, especially receivers with that caliber, you can't let them leave the state of Miami. I don't know. We've seen it happen too many times with Amari, Jerry Jeudy, Ridley. All those guys go to Bama. Even the guy that just left, Fi Bell.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it happens too much. The last guy that was a big name that we kept in South Florida, or even if you count that South Florida, was Amon Richards, and we know what he did for us. guy should have been in the combine this year. I mean, that's someone who was probably my favorite Cane recently. I loved Amon. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I just think it's important to be able to attract guys like that. So yeah, definitely Ja'Cory. I'd say, God, one of the Palmetto kids, if that's even possible, if we can even get 11 wins, I definitely think it could happen. But I don't know, man. A lot of people do like them. I don't see why not. They don't win states this year. They have five really, really, really good athletes. And then someone else, I'd say, what's his name? I'd like to see Jennings, Bradley Jennings' little brother.
He's up in Jacksonville, isn't he? Or where is he?
Yeah, right where his older brother we got him from. But yeah, he's Northern Florida, heavily recruited kid before his commitment. I think one of the recruiting services said that he easily could be a five star, but we know with Miami, if he does come to Miami, he could end up a three star due to. Okay.
We know how good those guys are when they sign.
They love Miami.
We don't need rivals to downgrade them.
It's just one of those things: is death, taxes, and rivals undermining our commits. You know.
Exactly.
But yeah, what about you guys? Who do you guys think we should get this year?
I don't know. What do you think, Jordan?
I don't know, man. I mean, I've yet to really, really dig in. To next year's recruiting. I'm still trying to relax from how crazy this signing period was. But I mean, yeah, I'd need to look into it more. I've looked into the quarterbacks. Like, I'm pretty plugged in on Miller Moss and that Aaron McLaughlin kid, but
I need you guys to hop on Demetrius Davis, man.
Is he the kid that was committed to Virginia Tech?
Yes. And I think, 247 just compared him to De'Aaron King.
I did see that, actually, and I've actually seen a few different places that he's really good.
He's
and
a ball.
I actually saw that he had a Miami lanyard on the other day. Yeah. Someone said, like, future Cane, and he liked it. So
really?
That was me. Yeah, that was me, I think. I added him and Rhett Lashley, and both of them liked it.
Bro, yeah. send me that you'll have to send me that photo, but I really want to round out our offensive line. I really want Ryan Rodriguez to sign with us.
Yeah.
I would love Eli Sutton to flip from UNC. They're killing it on the recruiting trail, but I really like our class right now. I would love to get a receiver like Brinson or Jacoby George. You know, I'm not so into the 2021 cycle as of yet, just because course. It literally just started, but those guys, and then obviously a really good quarterback. You got to nail down a good quarterback in each class, and so I like several of the QBs. I like the Vautech kid that you mentioned. I like the guys out of California, but
of course, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So as far as go-to guys, I offensive line, figuring that out, I think they're doing a great job at making sure it's a priority and not waiting until the last few days or the last few weeks of the recruiting process to sign people. They're going out early. We need to hold on to Seymour.
He's a FSU flip potential, they keep saying, so that's kind of scary.
That is a little scary. I really like where we're going recruiting wise.
Well, what's our defensive tackle's name? Like Savion Collins?
He's gonna flip, I think.
Do we have any other defensive tackles? Because we didn't get one this year.
I don't think we do, to be honest. Yeah, because we lost Willie Moise, I think, from Chamba.
That could be, maybe he could be added in the future when his grades improve, but sucked, because I really liked him.
Yeah, and he could play both ways, which is honestly a plus. We could have used all the help you can get. Yeah. But, I mean, it's not like South Florida is not completely loaded this year. I mean, I think this is one of the best recruiting years in a long time for all of South Florida. I mean, it's almost every position. I mean, we even have a 5-star kicker who's a king commit. But
I do want to add real quick, we need to take at least 4 cornerbacks. Don't even have enough dudes to fill out the cornerback position. So hopefully friend of the podcast, Steven Ortiz, is one of them.
All right, Fred, that guy should already be a cane right now. It's confusing.
I know. It's ridiculous. But that's beside the point. We need just four defensive backs or 4 corners in this class, because we don't have enough dudes.
Well, I already know a safety who's going to be a cane in the future, and that's James Williams.
You think he'll be a Hurricane?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Huh.
Isn't that the 5-star kid?
Yep.
Who just didn't put us in his top 3.
Yep. No, but did you see what just came out?
I know he is saying that Miami's still in the running, but
there's one thing that we have that other schools don't, that's Ed Reed. I think Ed Reed is the sleeper of everything in this world. Ed Reed is a younger guy who can relate to everyone else, I'd say. He has something that a lot of coaches and a lot of staff don't have, and that's someone who has his number retired in high school, college, and the NFL. He has the respect from any age.
All of the Ed Reed stuff is going to be good if we can win. If we're going 6-7 and Ed Reed's there,
But Marsh, we have a kicker, man. That changes everything.
Does it change everything? No, it does not change everything.
A kicker does not help, 9-second plays, where Jaren Williams drops back. And it takes him, 9 seconds to do a play action, and then a 7-step drop, and then just throws it straight into the dirt or gets sacked. Kicker did not have anything to do with that.
Yeah, but it's crazy. But John, last question for you. So we're doing this. So every week we have a new thing where we debate. A few weeks ago we did top 3 Canes rivals. We've done top 3 greatest Miami Hurricanes of all time. This week we're doing our top 5. Venues on our sports bucket list. So we wanted to ask you, what's on your sports bucket list?
Definitely in general with all sports, I want to be a coach in the future. That's definitely my top goal. I want to work for the Miami Hurricanes, so it's something I am aiming for. So that's in my bucket list when it comes to sports.
Okay.
I'm currently at UCF. I just started working with the equipment department there. So I'm trying to get my foot in the door to be a future Cane coach. But definitely, I want to just do that. That's my main goal. If this counts, I just want to see Miami win the national championship soon. That's my.
I don't know about soon, but what are some of the stadiums wise that you want to go to? Wrigley Field or an LSU game or
How do you know about Wrigley's? My favorite baseball stadium. I've been to, actually. So I've been there. Thank God it's changed, but that used to be my password for a long time was Wrigley. I love Wrigley. I definitely want to go to some of the bigger stadiums like Michigan, Penn State. Crap, even Bama 2021, I'll probably be there opening game. And I don't know if it'll be ugly or great, but I want to definitely go to the Bama stadium and see how that atmosphere is like. I've been to Doak the last two times we've gone there and had both W, so I'm 2-0 in Doak. And then I've been to the Swamp. I don't like it there. I think it's ugly. But it
smells like gators.
I hate it. I totally agree. But there's definitely Death Valley. I want to go to Clemson when we win the Coastal this year. So, but yeah, there's definitely stadiums I want to go to that's on campus. I do love Hard Rock, though. I think Hard Rock is a special place.
It is. It is a special, very, very special place. I love our rental stadium.
Hey, it's Miami Dolphins rental stadium. Remember that.
Good deal. Well, hey, John, thank you so much, bro, for coming on, man. And continue to check out John's work on the State of View. He's always posting fire articles on there. And yeah, thanks again for coming on, man. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy your candy marsh and your Mountain Dew, Jordan.
Oh, thanks, bro.
Have a great day, guys.
See you, John.
Bye.
Alrighty.
Good deal.
Let's see. We just got a quick wrap up. I guess we need to do our top five, but we're like pushing an hour and a half almost. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What is on your top five then?
Oh shoot. Let's see. So, I want to see a day game in the SEC. Doesn't really matter where. I mean, like Knoxville would be fun if Tennessee was good. You know, Bama or Auburn or, you know, pretty much any SEC team, as long as it's like an on-campus stadium, the team's playing good and it's not Florida. you know what I mean? So that would be on there. I'd love to see the Super Bowl.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't matter where, hopefully. I mean, it'd be fun to see the Super Bowl in Miami, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think. I'd love to go to an NBA Finals game. I know that's not really like a specific venue, but I'm just a huge NBA fan. How about this? We'll say I'd love to see an NBA Finals game here in Salt Lake.
Oh, all right. Dude, that would honestly be awesome because I love the Heat with all my heart, but like there I've never been in a louder arena, and I think the Jazz have some of the best fans in the NBA. That would be insane.
Yeah. And I've been to a number of different stadiums. I've been in Boston Garden. I've been Madison Square Garden. I've been to Staples Center. And I think that where the Jazz play, it's called Vivint Smart Home Arena. I think the reason why it's so much louder is because like the lower bowl is so steep. I guess the lower and upper bowl, you know, and in like Staples and Boston TD Garden. It's like the lower bowl is kind of flat, you know? So if you're sitting on the 30th row, you're like, you're pretty far away from the court. Whereas, here in Salt Lake, like it's steep, man. You're sitting right on top of the court pretty much, even if you're upper bowl. And so, it's tight quarters. It makes it loud.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been to playoff games at the Jazz Arena, and then I've also been to Heat playoff games, and yeah, that Jazz, I have to say that it was much louder in the old Vivint Smart Home Arena. But okay, anything else on your bucket list?
Let's see. So I had Super Bowl, I had Finals game in Salt Lake, I got to throw the Rock on there, Hard Rock Stadium, just because I haven't seen a Miami game, so. Yeah, so that's on there, and then let's go. I'll just throw a baseball game at Yankee Stadium on there.
Okay, all right.
I wish it was Old Yankee Stadium, but you know, it has to be Yankee Stadium. That's what America's all about, you know.
No, absolutely. I've been to both Old and New Yankee Stadium. Love them both, but yeah, the old one definitely. It's like going to a game in the Orange Bowl compared to a game at the Hard Rock Stadium. I mean, both places can be awesome. Like both new places are awesome, but like there's just something from the old ones that Hey, so as far as I go, I definitely want to go to an LSU game and tailgate at LSU. Like night games at LSU are just like, I've just heard, are just insane. And I love the SEC. Having lived like in the Panhandle and the Alabama area, like I've grown to love the SEC and their passion and their fans. And I want to go to a Bama game, Tennessee game. I want to tailgate on the river with Tennessee fans. I've heard that is awesome. I've always wanted to go to a Raiders game and sit in the black hole, but they're not in Oakland anymore. So that sucks. I want to go see my Cowboys in Dallas. Because I've seen them play at Miami a few times, but I've never actually seen them in Dallas. I want to go to a really, really big rivalry game, like an Ohio State-Michigan game, or like Army-Navy, I think would be awesome. But yeah, that Michigan-Ohio State game has always been on my bucket list. Also, Michigan-Notre Dame, I think that would be really cool. I want to go to all 30 baseball stadiums. I'm probably about almost halfway there, but and then what's one final one? One college football season, and maybe I'll do this for a job in the future because I'm going into reporting, but I want to spend each Saturday of the college football season at a different stadium. So like 1 week I want to be obviously like in Hard Rock Stadium, and then the next week I want to be maybe in Gainesville for a Gator game, and then so on and so forth. So that's my bucket list.
Dude, you know, Lee Corso's getting up there in age, you know. Game Day's going to need to replace him soon, Marsh.
I know, isn't that's crazy, but I love sports, man. Like I've been lucky enough that you know, we got to travel to a bunch of, my dad took me to a bunch of sports games around the country. I saw the Canes play in Chicago at the Bears Stadium against Notre Dame. I've been to Notre Dame, which I think is one of the greatest places I've ever been. Went to an NLCS game in LA, went to a World Series game with the Marlins, been a few World Series games with the Marlins, but I just love sports, man. I just love it. Like I love it.
I'm with you. I mean, my dad's mostly into baseball, and so I've been to a lot of different baseball parks around the country, but I definitely need to go to more NFL and NBA stadiums. And, you know, I mean, for most of my adult life, I've been more into the NBA than anything else. But, you know, I've been enjoying the NFL more and more every season. So.
Well, and it's harder to, like, say, like, yeah, I just want to go to, like, a Celtics game or a Knicks game. Because, like, I mean, if it's just, like, if it's playoffs, I can understand. But, like, going to a regular season MLB game and a regular season NFL game, like, that still means something. But, like, just, like, another NBA game, like, I feel like that doesn't mean as much. I want to go to a Duke UNC basketball game. I want to go to a Kentucky game.
Yeah.
I think that would be pretty chill. But, yeah, just a lot of cool things.
Yeah. So, anyways, dude, this season's going to be fun. I'm excited for doing the podcast during the year, you know.
I'm like so excited, like as the summer months go on and like knowing that like we're getting closer and closer. I can't wait till we're like a month away and I'm just yelling on this podcast.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm gonna need like a 10-minute block every week just to say how much I hate the Big Ten and how overrated the whole conference is.
Hey, absolutely. That sounds amazing.
Hell man, I hate the Big Ten.
I did not know that.
Years, there's like seven of them that are ranked in the preseason polls, and their conference sucks. So, I mean, they all stay in the top 25, and then Ohio State comes out of there, and they're like, oh, they beat six ranked teams. Well, yeah. Then they get smashed by whoever they're playing, you know, whoever they're playing out of conference in bowl season. Happens every year, man.
You're not wrong. We'll have to save some time for that.
Oh, they beat the Iowa Hawkeyes, man. That's such a good win. Like, Iowa beat. Well, they beat Northwestern. Well, who did they beat? Oh, well, they beat Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe all those teams suck.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, yeah. Brother. Well, hey, another great episode. Thanks to Travis, our veteran of the week, and also John for coming on the show. We're back at it tomorrow, eh?
Yeah. RIP NBA season, man. I'm sad.
Yeah, maybe we'll have like a little memorial service for the NBA season tomorrow. But I'm done for today. You got anything else for today, Jordan?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, hey guys, we love you guys. We do love you guys, those that listen. And we thank you for the support. And as always, go Canes. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Yeah. See ya. Go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast.